Don't worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for listening today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Thanks for listening. We invite you to look with us in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 15. Again, Ephesians chapter 5, starting at verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother, and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Verses 15 through 33, Ephesians chapter 5. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the wonderful and the blessed gifts of marriage and the Christian family. Thank you for the opportunity for us to know you and to serve you and to seek to honor you in our homes, in our marriages, and in our families. Lord, anoint the minds, ears, heart, and understanding of every listener so that we'll be abundantly receptive to your word and your will and your spirit, and help us all to grow much in our understanding of the very vital place that marriage and the family have in your plan, in your kingdom, and in your will. And help us to become much more faithful hearers and doers of your word. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Again, we certainly appreciate you joining us on today. And I want to remind you once again, if you haven't gotten our free mobile apps yet, we want to encourage you to take time to do that. Simply go to Urban Family Talk, or go to your app store and search for Urban Family Talk, and you can get, again, free mobile apps for your iPhone and Android devices, and thereby be able to have the opportunity to take Urban Family anywhere you might go. So hope that you'll take time to do that. Our website is urbanfamilytalk.com. Again, that's urbanfamilytalk.com. We invite you to go to the website and please subscribe. Also take time to take a look at what you see there, some of the kingdom blogs and articles that deal with Christian discipleship and related issues. Hope you'll take time to read through those. And once again, we invite you to go to our Facebook pages, Hour of Intercession and Hour of Intercession Live. Please go to the pages and like our pages. We'd really, really appreciate it if you would. Today we're looking at the topic of a blueprint for a Christian home. Again, a blueprint for a Christian home. And we'll be looking at truths and insights from the Word of God that help us to build strong Christian marriages and strong Christian homes as well. And you know, it's very important for us to recognize that we live in a day and time in which, sadly, often the topic of marriage doesn't come up that much. That is, Christian marriage as based on the Word of God. Marriage, biblically speaking, is to be between one man and one woman who come together in holy matrimony in the will of God. When two men, quote unquote, get married, they don't really get married, because there is no such thing as marriage between two men or two women. Marriage is, again, a creation. It was ordained by God. God has the privilege of setting and making the rules. And so the rules of God's word are to be guided. And the word of God tells us a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. That's what Christian marriage consists of. So any other combination is not the word or the will of God. So a starting place is you start with the word of God and you end with the Word of God in terms of your definitions, your guidance, the counsel that you live by as well. So we're looking in Ephesians chapter 5. And again, we're speaking to husbands and wives, but also we're speaking to husbands-to-be and wives-to-be. We're also talking to parents, because parents, it's our responsibility to teach and train and help prepare our children to one day help our boys to one day be a strong Christian husband and man, help our daughters to become a strong Christian wife as well, help them to prepare to be what God would have them to be. And in spite of the fact that Satan has tried to attack and tried to destroy a Christian marriage and the Christian family, it's not going to happen, because again, he doesn't have the ability to destroy what that which God has established, that which God has ordained. And so it's important for us to know that we're wise to hear the Word of God, to read the Word of God, and follow it in terms of the way we live as husbands and wives, and in terms of the way we teach and train and guide our children if they one day, Lord willing, look forward to getting married. Again, in order to be a godly husband or a godly wife, doesn't happen by accident. So we're looking to the Word of God for wisdom and guidance here. Read through Ephesians chapter 5. I want you to look specifically at the passage that speaks once again to wives and husbands, starting at verse 22. Again, Ephesians 5, starting at verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Reading verses 22 through 31. Again, we're looking specifically at the topic of a blueprint for a Christian home. And also, there's another passage I want to share with you. It comes from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6 in the Old Testament. But again, it's instructions for those that love and follow the Lord. Instructions God gives us as Christians, as believing parents, in guiding and molding and shaping our children. Deuteronomy chapter 6, specifically beginning at verse 4, it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. That you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." Verses 4 through 9, Deuteronomy chapter 6. As we look at the Word of God and what it teaches to us as husbands and wives and as dads and moms, as we help to shape and mold our children, it's important that we really pay attention to what God has said to do. Notice as we look further here in Deuteronomy chapter 6, notice what he's saying to us as parents, our responsibility to our children. Again, read starting at verse 6 once again, "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart." So a part of the responsibility of us as Christian parents is we're to read and study the Word of God so that it will be in our heart. And when God's Word is in our heart, it's working on us in a very important and a fruitful way. So we're not just to read the Word of God, we're to plant it deeply into our heart. So as Christian dads and moms, we need to be reading and meditating on the Word of God and filling our hearts as well as our minds with God's precious Word. It goes on to say in verse 7, "You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." So again, as we look at the topic of blueprint for a Christian home, we need to know that, again, it's very important that we seek to build our homes God's way. Now, of course, it's wise for us as parents to be praying long before our children are born for God to provide the right spouse, the right husband or wife for them. Now, of course, some may say, well, What if your children don't want to get married? Well, of course, that's between them and the Lord. That's between them and the Lord as far as making that decision. But many of them, certainly men and women, will desire to be married. Well, that's a good desire. It's a good thing. And so we're wise to encourage that. But again, we're to pray that God would provide the right spouse for your son or your daughter. Because remember this, like it or not, we all deal with spiritual warfare in every part of life, including in this area. And remember, it's important that we pray and encourage our children to seek the Lord as they seek marrying one day. Because remember this, whoever you marry has a huge influence on your ability to fulfill the call of God upon your life. If you end up getting married with someone who's not the person God had in mind for you, and they don't love the Lord, not following the Lord, it doesn't mean that you won't be able to know and serve the Lord, but they can become a great hindrance to that person living and serving the Lord. Keep in mind, when a believer gets married, for example, that believer, their spiritual father is God. When an unbeliever gets married, keep in mind, that unbeliever, their spiritual father is the devil. Well, when a believer, tragically, and keep in mind, the Word of God does say, be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. And basically what that means is that a Christian, a believer, should marry another believer. And even then, we need to seek the Lord's wisdom because, again, believers are still are human beings as well. But when a saved person whose spiritual father is God and an unsaved person whose spiritual father is the devil, if they marry, keep in mind, that saved man or woman is marrying someone whose spiritual father is the devil. That means the devil becomes their spiritual father-in-law, and they now have access to their house and their marriage and their family. You don't want that. You really don't want that. So praying for your children and encouraging them to seek God's wisdom, God's grace in seeking the correct spouse is very important. But also in the meantime, as our children are growing up, we're to be discipling our children. We're to be diligently discipling them, teaching them to seek God. We should do all that we can to help lead them to the Lord Jesus Christ, to help them to come to know Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives. And also, we're to teach and train them to read the Word of God consistently. We're to teach and train them to pray. We're to teach them that God is the center of everything. He's the foundation of all of life and everything in life. And so our children should grow up understanding that God is important to everything we do and every endeavor we pursue. Lord, thank you for every person listening. Thank you for the opportunity you give to each of us to be disciples and for us as parents to disciple our children. Thank you for the opportunity to do our part to help lead each of our children to the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives. But thank you for the privilege and the blessing of being able to teach and train them the importance, teach and train them to walk in the wisdom of reading in your word every day. Lord, help us to be faithful to help our children to get into your word each and every day. Help us also to be wise enough to teach and train our children to pray and to model a lifestyle of prayer before them. Help us to recognize, Lord, that our children desperately need to know how to pray, know how to seek your face, to seek your guidance, your help, your direction in time of need. And help us to be wise enough as parents to teach our children that God really does carry the answer to every problem, every challenge, every difficulty in life. And as they learn to seek you, Lord, then more and more they'll come to realize that you really are what life is all about. Knowing you and walking with you really and truly is that. Lord, anoint every family, every marriage, every home. Anoint each one afresh with the spirit of prayer. Help us to learn to fill our homes with prayer, to be prayerful as husbands and wives, prayerful as dads and moms, prayerful as we teach and train our children to pray and as we pray before them. Help us to be consistent to do this in our homes each and every day. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our topic for today is Blueprint for a Christian Home. We'll be right back.
We're losing 417 Vietnam veterans every day, and with them goes their memories and unique personal histories. This includes the 7,286 African-American heroes who made the ultimate sacrifice for our country during the Vietnam War. Help us keep their memory alive by collecting their photos and by putting a face to each name inscribed on the Vietnam Veterans Memorial in Washington, D.C. The Education Center at the Wall on our National Mall will display these photos and be a place where their faces and contributions will never be forgotten. It will complete the work of the Memorial Wall and also honor those who sacrificed their lives in Iraq and Afghanistan. Help honor the service of all American veterans and bring their sacrifice to life. Visit vvmf.org to share your photos and your stories. That's vvmf.org.
A message from the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Fund.
Recently, I was at my church and came in during the time of children's service. I was so intrigued on the topic at hand, Abba, Father. In Romans chapter 8, verses 14 and 15, it says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Two things stood out to me, adoption and Abba. Adoption means to take someone as your very own. Abba is the Greek word for an intimate form of father, such as daddy. If you ever had a moment where you thought no one wanted you, I am here to remind you that from the beginning of time, Abba Father desired to adopt you into his family. That is why he sent Jesus. He saw you as valuable, significant, and worth dying for. That alone makes you a somebody. For Heart for the Urban Family, I'm today's urban woman, Victory McIntosh. Connect with us more at urbanfamilytalk.com.
You never know what the future might be. That's the beauty of possibility. Every human life, so irreplaceable. I can't imagine life without you. It's just unthinkable.
We are all created by God with undeniable purpose. Learn more about beautiful possibility at www.radiance.life. Follow us on Twitter at Life Has Purpose.
I'll be there.
music of BB and CC Wine is the song Celebrate New Life. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We're looking today at the topic of Blueprint for a Christian Home. And so we'll be sharing things, insights that all of us would be wise to seek to incorporate into our life and our lifestyle as Christians in building a strong Christian home. And, you know, keep in mind, you know, I think of this like sometimes when you buy a wallet, you look for one that says genuine leather. Well, why do we look for genuine leather? Well, because there are a lot of fakes out there, a lot of the things that are imitation leather. But again, typically, we're willing to pay a little extra money for the real thing, what we call genuine leather. Well, of course, to have a genuinely Christian home, it's important that we do things God's way and we seek to build things on the foundation of the Word of God. So as we look into God's Word, pay close attention to the importance of us reading what God's Word says and applying it. I can't overemphasize how important it is that we apply the Word. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, it says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to you, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Then listen to what the words say going on in that same passage, verse 24. "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." So it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. The Lord Jesus is making clear the point that we're to read the Word of God and apply it in our homes. And, you know, sadly, we live in a world where often we fool other people, and often we all also fool ourselves. Often we'll say, "I did everything I could to raise my child right, and he or she still went off in the wrong direction." Now, keep in mind, again, we cannot make our children, in other words, our children make their own decisions. Once they become adults, it's for them to make their own decisions. However, when our children are small, again, we can decide that we're going to plant certain seeds in their lives. For example, as parents, obviously we should take our children to church on a consistent basis. But also, remember this, the Christian education work that's done in our children's lives, a lot more of it should happen at home than it does at church. Why? Well, yes, the church is to contribute, but the primary responsibility for discipling our children is in the hands of us as parents. Listen again to what God says in Deuteronomy chapter 6, because it's very clear, very powerful, but very clear what God says to us. Again, this is Deuteronomy 6, verse 7. "You shall teach them diligently," and of course it's referring to the Word of God. Let me start at verse 6. "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes." Now, how do we do that? How do we really do that kind of intensive teaching at home? Well, part of it's done as we establish spiritual habits in our home. It's a very wise thing for us as parents to, on a daily basis, have our young children to come, and even if they're just learning how to read, barely know how to read, or as they learn how to read proficiently and to read well, have them to read the Word of God out loud to you every single day. Again, I often like to suggest for young children, for example, when they're small, very short chapters is a wise thing. Like, for example, Psalm 100 is only 5 short verses. Having your child to read 3 short chapters like that out loud, I think that's a good thing. But as they get older, they can read more lengthy chapters. But keep in mind, you can read your average 3 chapters in about 12 to 15 minutes. Well, sometimes parents make the big mistake, and I say the big mistake of thinking, well, that's too much to make my child read. We have just got to be smarter than that. We've got to be wiser than that. Remember this, our children play. If there are too many parents that allow their children to play video games for an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. They watch television programs that last 30 minutes, an hour, 2 hours, movies. They watch all kinds of things. To say, I don't want to make my child read for 12 to 15 minutes is actually a foolish thing to say. We need to do what's in our best children's interest, and the best interest of our children, that is. And keep in mind, one of the best things and most fruitful things our children can do today is read the Word of God. Why is that true? God's Word is pure light. And when your child is reading the Word of God, they're pouring light, the light of God's Word, into their mind and their heart. God's Word is not only light, God's Word is also peace, it's grace, it's joy, it's strength, it's empowerment, it's many things. And when our children are reading the Word of God, they're doing one of the most fruitful things they can possibly do in life. They're consuming the wonderful and powerful Word of God. But also, along with their reading, remember, when they read, they're feeding their spirit. But also, the Bible speaks of talking of them as we go through the way. Notice again what it says, continuing in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. Now, keep in mind, we all know we live in a very distracted world, where lots and lots of people are addicted to electronic devices, and that's what consumes much of their time and their energy. Many adults, that's true for them. Many children, that's true for them as well. For many children, they spend hours on end playing video games in the evening after they come home from school. Many of them watch things or are looking on the internet or watching television. Again, sadly, we're, in many instances, it appears, addicted to electronic things. But there's a time to turn off all the electronic devices, turn off the video games, turn off the cell phone, turn off the MP3 player, turn off all the electronic stuff, and open the Word of God. Because remember, nothing will bless your child more than the precious Word of God. We need to help and teach and encourage them to do that. Keep in mind, again, there are lots and lots of ways in which the Spirit of God can influence your child, and there are lots of ways that Satan can influence your child as well. Well, the fact is, remember this, whether you realize it or not, what you consume, again, is affecting you. Media affects all of us. Media, in a sense, disciples us. In other words, whatever you're listening to or watching or giving attention to, that is discipling you. It's teaching you whatever values it's sharing, whatever values it's communicating. It's teaching and discipling you to walk in those values. So if you have persons that are always looking at things on the internet that have little or nothing to do with God, are pointing you to the world, the topics of the world, the issues of the world, then that's discipling you. It's teaching and training you what's important, what's not important. Many people know some of the all kinds of things that are going on in the lives of celebrities because that's what they look at on the internet. But you know, again, whether you're spending too much time learning about what person's going with this person, what person has married this individual, what person's divorced this individual, number one, those are other people's lives. Number two, that's not really your business. But also, you and I need to invest ourselves in the drama of our own lives. You have plenty of drama all by yourself in your own life, and you need the grace of God and the Word of God and the Spirit of God to help you so that there won't be so much drama in your life and in the lives of your children. Your children have plenty of drama all by themselves. So helping them to read the Word of God is so important, because God's Word teaches them what's right, what's wrong, what helps them, what doesn't help them. Now, let me suggest this and encourage this to you. Get a copy of the Ten Commandments and place them in your home where it's accessible and easily seen by everybody in your house. Again, and I would say in an easy reading, easily read translation, but place it on the wall or somewhere where your children can see it. But on a daily basis, have your children to pray the Ten Commandments. Why is that important? Because remember this, the Ten Commandments basically sum up the mind and the heart of God in just summary form. Basically, it sums up the wisdom of God for the all of God's Word. Now, again, keep in mind, we should read all of the Word of God. But the Ten Commandments basically cover the foundational areas of life for all of us. And so they deal with loving God. They deal with loving people. They deal with respecting God and respecting people and the property of other people as well. Again, in direct statement or in principle, they cover every issue or every concern. And so teaching your children the Ten Commandments is a wise thing to do. Teaching and training them to pray the Ten Commandments is wise as well. Let's take time now, and we're going to pray the Ten Commandments even now. Thank you, Lord, for today. Help us, Lord, this day to put you first. Help us, Lord, to make no graven images. Help us, Lord, to not take your name in vain. Help us, Lord, to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Help us, Lord, to honor our fathers and our mothers. Help us to not steal. Help us to not kill. Help us to not commit adultery. Help us to tell the truth. Help us to not covet. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Now keep in mind, remember what God says to us in Deuteronomy chapter 6. He says again about concerning the word of God, verse 6, starting at verse 6 again, "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." Well, again, God tells us to do these things for a reason. How do you put things on the doorpost of your gates? Again, I just shared with you, get a copy of the Ten Commandments. Post them in your house where everybody in the house can see them on a daily basis. And help your children to pray the Ten Commandments each and every day as well. Remember, that's not just a nice exercise. When you pray and ask God for anything, remember, amongst other things, when you pray, prayer releases the grace of God to work. So when you ask God, and you and your children are asking God to help you to put him first, you know the Holy Spirit knows how to help us and our children to do that. When we ask God to help us make no graven images, the Holy Spirit knows exactly how to help us to do that. When we ask God to help us to not steal, to not kill, to not commit adultery, the Holy Spirit knows how to help us do those things. And the fact is, parents, so many of our children don't know these things. And sadly, we live in a society where even children that often go to church, go to department stores and shoplift. They go to grocery stores. They go to toy stores and take things. Why? It's not in their heart to not steal. But the fact is, when we teach them the wisdom behind a wonderful tool from the Word of God like the Ten Commandments, they come to know the will of God. But also, it's not just a matter of head knowledge. The Spirit of God is working on planting that word in their heart so that when they get tested in a given situation, even if their friends are apt to shoplift, often they'll find in their heart, "That's wrong. I'm not going to do that." And it's because the Word of God has been planted and taught them and put into their hearts. Parents, it's our responsibility to teach and train our children what's right, what's wrong, what honors God, what doesn't honor God. And again, remember, Ten Commandments is a wonderful tool and a wonderful weapon to help us to do just that. Parents, let's all of us teach our children all 10 of the commandments, what they mean, and how to apply them in their lives, because again, it'll bless them in every part of their life. So don't think of it as just a ritual that a family could go through. Remember, God gave us the Ten Commandments because he wants to set us free. He wants to bless us. And God's word will do just that as we hear it and obey it. We're not just to be hearers of the word of God. We're to be doers as well. So again, I would encourage you to teach and train your children to pray the Ten Commandments every day. And also have the Ten Commandments placed in your home where everybody can see them on display every single day. But also, it doesn't say tell us to stop there. We're to talk about the meanings. We should talk to our children about what the different meanings of the different commandments are. Notice again in verse 7, it says, "You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." And we'll talk more about that on the other side. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we look at the topic of Blueprint for a Christian Home. We'll be right back.
American Family Association, a ministry with a mission to inform, equip, and activate people like you to strengthen the moral foundations of American culture and to give aid to the church here and abroad in her task of fulfilling the Great Commission. We couldn't do it without your day-to-day support. Together, we are making a difference. American Family Association. Find us online at afa.net.
I'm Will Addison, director of Urban Family Talk. We desire to be a movement of time tellers. In 1 Chronicles 12:32, it says, the sons of Issachar were men who had understanding of the time to know what Israel ought to do. In these perilous times, God is raising up a people of discernment who will see, pray, and act. We sound the alarm as watchmen. We cry aloud that God's people may be activated for his service. Join the movement at urbanfamilytalk.com.
Dr. Tony Evans says there's only one place God wants to occupy in our lives, first place. But what happens to life's other priorities? We'll find the answer with the help of a brief physics lesson as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
A college professor one day wanted to teach his students about priorities. And so what he did was he got a jar and he poured in it a lot of pebbles and stones. The stones began to fill up the jar, and then he had one rock. Although the stones were smaller than the rock, there were so many of them that there was no room left for the big rock. He then emptied the jar and put the rock in first, then poured in the stones, to discover now that if you put the big rock in first, you still have room for the stones to fill in around the rock, but you don't lose the big because you got so many little things occupying the space. What he was teaching them is you always take care of the big thing first, and then you'll have room for the little things. God is the big thing. The problem is our lives are filled with so many stones that when it comes time for God, there's just no room left. We filled it up with work and play and activity and relationships and television and athletics and all of these stones, legitimate stones, but then we wind up too tired for a rock, too busy for a rock, too distracted for a rock, and then we get upset when the rock's not working, when there was no place for the rock to be.
For an in-depth, practical look at what it really means to put the Lord first, ask for details on Tony's teaching series, Restoring God to His Rightful Place, available online at tonyevans.org. Then join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
There's a voice that cries out in the silence, searching for a heart that will love him, longing for a child that will give him their. Wants it all, and there's a God that walks over the earth. He's searching for a heart that is desperate and longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all, he wants it all, and he says, love me, love me with your whole heart. He wants it all today. Serve me. All today, he wants it 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 all.
The music of Forever Jones, the song He Wants It All. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. We're looking today at the topic of Blueprint for a Christian Home, and we've been looking at the passages, Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning at verse 4, and then the passage, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to the end of the chapter. And keep in mind, they have to do with insight for parents to know things that we're to teach and train our children about as it relates to Christian discipleship and growing up and growing strong in the things of God. And again, that was Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 9. And again, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to verse 33. Now, keep in mind, so important it is for us as parents to remember then, we have to establish these habits for our children, helping our children to begin to read the Word of God daily. And as I said, I would encourage you to help your children pray the Ten Commandments every day. Now remember, this doesn't take all evening. You can literally pray the Ten Commandments in about a minute and a half. It doesn't take long, but it's a very wise thing to do. Again, you can help your children to read, again, two or three chapters, brief chapters in the Word of God, literally in about 12 to 15 minutes, if that long. So it doesn't take long, but remember, it needs to be a high priority. Why? Because God said to do that. How tragic it is that for many believers, they're so busy with so many things, they just don't get around to it. Now, keep in mind, remember this. 200 years from now, whether or not your children played soccer or football or basketball or baseball really won't be that critical. Not that that's not important. That has a place. But whether or not you got to go see the movie you wanted to go see at the theater last night, it's not that big a deal. The fact is, there's so many things that we fill up our schedules with that really aren't that important. The only thing that will matter to each of us 200 years from now will be, did you know Jesus Christ? And of course, parents, we all want to be sure that all of our children are with us in heaven. We all want to be sure that no matter what else happens in life, we want every one of our children to be with us in heaven. Today is a day to work on that. Don't put it off until tomorrow, next week, next month, next year. Don't say, I'll start praying for my children more tomorrow. I'll start encouraging them in the things of God. And remember this, as long as your children are alive, you have influence in their lives. You have a place of influence in their lives. And in fact, even, for example, in 1 Samuel chapter 1, you find that Hannah, she loaned her son Samuel to God. Through her prayer, she loaned her child to God. Well, did you know that you can do that to your child at any age, whether they're a baby or whether they're grown? You can loan them to God. And amongst other things, what that does is that puts a claim on their life by the Lord. Now, that's just a wise parenting thing to do. But the earlier you do it, the better. The earlier you choose to loan your child to God, the better off they will be. So as we look further at the topic of Blueprint for a Christian Home, keep in mind, too, I want to share with you a few specific truths that we need to share with our sons and our daughters, but I'm especially leaning towards things we should teach our boys. Well, again, as we look at Ephesians chapter 5, now again, keep in mind, Deuteronomy chapter 6 makes it clear. According to God, it's to be a high priority for us as parents to teach and train our children about God, the Word of God, and the things of God. We're to talk about it in our homes. We're to discuss it and talk about how it affects our lives. And so our children shouldn't only be learning about the Word of God at church. Certainly they should learn there, but they should learn a whole lot more about the Word of God and the Lord Jesus Christ and following God at home rather than just at church. They should be learning in both places, but they really should be learning a whole lot more at home than they do at church. Why? They live at home typically 7 days a week as they're growing up with you as the parent. Well, let's look specifically at some truths that we as parents need to teach our children as it relates to them growing up spiritually. Number one, we're to teach our boys and our girls, but especially our boys, to be spiritual leaders in their home. It's important to teach and train our boys to seek to be a spiritual leader in their home so that one day, Lord willing, if they do marry, then they will provide spiritual leadership for that wife and for the children that would come as well. And obviously that can only happen if that child comes to know Christ. So parents, we're to do all we can to help our children come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives. Do your part, obviously, to take them to church, but also on a regular basis. We're wise to invite our children to pray to receive Christ at home. And of course, once they've made that step, you can invite them to pray it as a rededication prayer to recommit their hearts and their lives to the Lord. And helping them to do that is a wise thing to do. But also, again, teach and train them to read the Word of God daily. Again, having your child to come into the living room, come into the kitchen, come into your room, and just read the chapters out loud is a wise, wise thing for parents to do. And if your child complains, says, Mama, Daddy, I don't feel like reading, I'm too tired, tell them, read anyway. It's good for you. It's like eating your greens. It's good for you. Have them to read out loud, but also have them to come before you and pray together. Praying the Lord's Prayer with your children every day is a very wise thing to do. Helping them to pray the Ten Commandments with you every day, a very wise thing to do. And it doesn't take all evening. It doesn't have to take long, but it's an important ingredient. It needs to be an important ingredient in the life and the lifestyle of you and your family. So teaching our boys to be spiritual leaders, we're to help them to come to know the Lord, we're to help them to grow up in their faith, but also teach and train them that prayer and the reading of God's Word is to be a part of his or her life and lifestyle. And remember this too, teach and train your boys and girls to, even for example, when they begin to date or build relationships with the opposite sex, well, a part of their dating life should be praying and reading God's word. Now, if you think that's strange or odd to say, I'm sorry you think that way, because it shouldn't be strange. It shouldn't be odd, because our children should think that prayer is to be a part of everything they do. Now, sometimes our children may say, well, Dad or Mom, if I pray on dates, it'll run my date off. Well, if it runs your date off, good riddance. You didn't need him or her. If Jesus scares him away, good, because again, that's not the right kind of husband or wife for you anyhow. On the other hand, the right kind of person will be drawn to you because prayer is important to you. The right kind of person will be drawn to you because reading God, the Word of God, is important. So again, if you pray on a date and it runs that boy or that girl off, good riddance. Again, the Spirit of God will draw the right kind of person. Because remember, prayer is a wise thing to do in every context. It's never inappropriate to pray in any given situation. Never. And if somebody tells you otherwise, they are wrong, because prayer is appropriate for everything. Because remember, amongst other things, prayer invites God into your situation. It invites God into the affairs, the issues, and the events of your life. If we're wise, we'll be prayerful about everything we do. If reading the Word of God on your date runs that guy off, runs that girl off again, good riddance. Because again, one of the most blessed things you can do in your relationship as you move towards marriage is allow God to be the center of everything you do. That's just smart living, folks. So we need to do it, and we need to teach our children to do the same thing. So tell them, yes, pray on your dates. Yes, read the Word of God on your dates. And again, if it's running them off, praise the Lord. And again, the right kind of person will be drawn because Jesus is important to your son or your daughter. So teach them to be a spiritual leader. Also, teach your children to work and to work hard. Now, we should teach our children to work hard, period, but also especially our boys. Remember, the primary responsibility for providing for the family is to be on the shoulders of the man. It doesn't mean the wife can't work, but primarily the husband is to be the provider. And so if you have a young man that he's lazy and he doesn't want to work, something's terribly wrong, because real men will work and work hard to provide for their family. So we need to teach our boys to be hard workers who will take care of their families. One of the saddest things in the world is a lazy man, a man that won't work, a man that doesn't want to work. In fact, nowadays we have men that are looking for women to take care of them. Sometimes they're asking strange questions like, what kind of bread you making, honey? What kind of paycheck you pulling home? Why would they ask them that? Because they want someone to take care of them. Remember, real men are looking for someone to take care of. Boys look for someone to take care of them. And you have a lot of 40 and 50-year-old boys out there. Real men will provide and provide well for their families. Teach your boys to work and work hard. Now, ladies, if you happen to be married to a lazy man, you've got a problem. You have a problem. But now the Bible has a remedy for that. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it lets us know, if a man will not work, neither shall he eat. You have biblical grounds to come home and feed yourself and feed the children, and don't feed him. Why? Because if he gets hungry, maybe he'll get up and work. Real men will work and work hard. Real men are supposed to provide for their families. So parents, let's teach and train our children to work and work hard. Now, if you say, well, I just want them to get their schoolwork, so I don't give them any chores, Dad and Mom, you better wake up. You need to give your children chores, period. They need to do things like wash the dishes and clean up the house and clean up the bathroom. They need to know how to work and work hard. Now, remember, it's bad for a boy or a girl to be lazy. But one of the saddest things in the world is a lazy man. Parents, says, teach our boys, our children, to work and to work hard. Also, thirdly, then, teach your boys to respect women and womanhood. Teach your boys that you never use the B word with reference to women. Women are not dogs. They are precious gifts and prizes to be won. Teach your boys to respect women. Also, teach your boys, don't hit girls. A man's place is a place of protection. Men are to protect women and look out for them, to look out and protect girls. They're not to beat up on them. If you have, and keep in mind, you can go to any high school, tragically, in our nation, and find boys that will beat up on their girlfriends. And you find in so many communities, often even in church communities, where men that hit and beat up on their wives, that's a sin before God. It's against the will of God. Fist fighting and beating up has no place in a marriage, none whatsoever. Even if the man thinks, well, she just aggravates me, well, you have a problem if you think hitting her helps because, again, according to the Word of God, that should never, ever happen. Now, again, you might say, well, where in the Bible does it even speak to that? Well, let me help you out. In Ephesians chapter 5, it lays out the clear principle. It says, again, for no one ever, this is referring to the responsibilities of the Christian husband, verse 28, so husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. Husbands, you're supposed to love your wife as your own body. Well, when you bite your tongue, you don't kick yourself, you don't slap yourself, you don't punch yourself in the stomach. Why? You're to love your wife as your own body. Again, just like you take care of yourself, you're supposed to take care of your wife. You don't beat up on your wife under any circumstances. So again, men and young men and adult men that hit girls and beat up on girls, they're wimps. They're not being real men because real men protect women, look out for them, and take care of them. And so parents, we've got to teach and train our boys that way. Now, let me say this. Ladies, don't you beat up on your boyfriends or your husbands either. You know, that you don't need to do that. That's wrong, too. But again, often in the relationship, often the man will often be stronger than the women. Not always now, but often. So beating each other up and hitting and fighting, that has no place in the Christian home. So teach your boys to respect women, to look out for them, to watch out for their best interest. And then also, we're to teach our boys also to be good role models before their children as well. Now, again, many of these are things that we as parents should do before our children and need to teach our sons and our daughters, but especially the leadership is placed, according to the Word of God, in the hands of the young man. He's to be the leader in the home. And so he needs to understand what headship means according to the Word of God. So teaching and training him to be a leader and a good role model, to walk in such a way that his wife and his children can see what a Christian really, really looks like. Well, again, our time is just about gone, but we've been looking at some details based on the Word of God, things we as parents need to do to teach and train our children and our sons and our daughters so that they will grow up to become strong Christian men and strong Christian women and to be godly men and godly women. It doesn't happen by itself. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9, and Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to verse 33, they have some very important insights for us. These are things that we as parents need to study so that we know what God is calling upon us to do, and we're to help our children to do them as well. Father, thank you for the chance for us to build our homes on the wisdom of your word. Anoint us with wisdom and grace to be effective in teaching and training our children to be godly men and godly women that will live for your glory. Bless them mightily today, and bless us as we do that in our homes. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks for listening. You've been listening to the Hour of Intercession as we looked at the topic of Blueprint for a Christian Home. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk. Urban Family Talk.